The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Marathon runners dread this. It's the moment that they're on the pace, but then suddenly the energy levels have dropped and they begin to slow down. Well, now a study has found that men are almost twice as likely to hit the wall. And researchers have suggested that it might be down, in part at least, to overconfidence. I'm joined by Professor in Clinical Exercise Physiology at the School of Health and Human Performance in DCU, Niall Moynagh. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
This happens a lot, doesn't it, where people hit the wall, all sorts of people, men and women. So we might talk about that first. Why does that happen?
Well, when we run a marathon, it's not just about our physiology. It's also about the effective use of the energy that we have. So there are two energy tanks in the body. There's the carbohydrate tank and there's the fat tank, and we use both of them. However, there's 100,000 calories in the fat tank and there's 2,000 calories in the carb tank. And the problem is when you run out of the carbs and you rely entirely on fat, that's when you hit the wall. So if you run very hard, you tend to use the carbohydrates more than the fats. And that's the problem with the men, unfortunately.
Okay, so the men are going out hard and they're not pacing themselves. Is that what's going on?
That's it. And in fact, you know, I think it's probably down to the lack of a patience gene in men. We don't tend to be very, very patient. It's a bit like in elite sport. You know, we want to really get into the mix. And, you know, at the start of a marathon, you just think about all the excitement and that. And obviously men get far more excited with all the crowd that are there. And when you go off too fast, that first 5K, unfortunately, you cannot get it back at the other end. You really pay dearly for it because you run out of those carbs and you hit that dreaded wall. Women, on the other hand, they take a much more effective approach. It's the tortoise and the hare. They go off much, much slower and they're using primarily their fat. In addition, women also have a better ability to use fat than men in general. So first of all, they have that advantage, but then because they go slower, particularly over the first half of the race, they're utilizing that fat as well, and they're conserving the carbohydrates for the last 10 to 15 kilometers.
Yeah, but there's plenty of men listening to this, Niall, who will say, well, I know exactly how to run a marathon and I start off slow, I pace myself and I push towards the end. So it's not everybody, you know, who will make this mistake. But what the study tells us is it's more common for men to hit the wall, so to overextend themselves at the start of the thing.
Yeah, and particularly in people who are running the marathon in a time beyond 3 hours, it seems to be much, much more prevalent in that group. So particularly if you've done a marathon before and it has happened, then you don't need to listen to me. You know exactly how it feels. But if you have not run a marathon, and I always give this advice to people who are running the first marathon, I always say, go easy the first half because you will be rewarded in the second half. If you go hard in the first half, you pay dearly in the second half.
And that is called a negative split, isn't it? Doing it right.
Yes. The whole idea is to probably, a negative split is you run the first half slightly slower than the second half. Most people do the opposite. They run the first half fast and they slow down, particularly over the last 5 to 10K. And that's where most of the damage occurs because you normally don't run out of that. The carbohydrate tank doesn't dry up until around 36 kilometers. So you're running the last 12 kilometers basically on fat. And that's very, very inefficient. And that's why we have to slow down. Mm-hmm. So the key message is, run the first half slow and you're rewarded handsomely during the second half.
Yeah, look at Paula Radcliffe, who's been talking about this as well. Her world record, which was in place for 16 years, was 2 hours, 15 minutes and 25 seconds, which is just wild. I watched her one time. She ran past me. I was watching the London Marathon, Niall. She had an extraordinary running style. But she said, in relation to all of this, that she had to learn the importance of this. So you're exactly right. Somebody who is trying to either break or retain a record, they're always going to push from the get-go. But the sensible thing is to keep it back, hold it back, slow down until you get halfway.
You couldn't give better advice. And I think it's important to also understand with training, though, you teach your body to preferentially use fat during the race. And you tend to conserve those. That's why the elite, the world-class marathon runners, they don't hit the wall. And they're running at around 2 hour pace. Because that's an adaptive response to years of endurance training. But for the average punter that's going out to run the Dublin Marathon or maybe the London Marathon, maybe once or twice a year, my advice always is run the first half slower than the second half.
And is that all it takes to use your fat stores rather than the carbs, just to run a bit slower?
Well, yeah, obviously, the problem is, Claire, if you run too fast, even the first 5 kilometers, because the faster you run, the greater the reliance on your carb and the less reliance on fat. So you're depleting that store of only 2,000 calories. You still have 100,000 calories and you're not using them. So my advice is use the fat. That's the calories that you have in abundance, and preserve the carbs. Now, also during the race, remember, you can also take in carbohydrates, because there's two stores of carbohydrates. One is your muscle and the other is your liver. The muscle only uses that carbohydrate for itself, but the liver can release the its carbs and it can go to the muscle. So when we take carbs during a race, that can refuel the liver and it can also go directly to your muscle as well. So there's lots of strategies that people can use to sustain their carbohydrate use as well.
And how do you know that you're using your fat store, that you're doing it right?
I think it's probably the pace you're running at. If you're really on a scale of 1 to 10, if you're running around a 6, it really feels moderate. It's pretty easy. But if you're breathing hard, you're finding it hard to have a conversation, there's a pretty high likelihood is that you're using your carbohydrate stores, because you're running at a pretty fast pace that would require the use of your carbs.
Mm-hmm. Chris has been in touch, who's doing his first marathon this year, needs all the advice that he can get. So he's asking, are we saying that you should run the first half slower than the second? That's exactly what we're saying, Chris. That's exactly what we're saying. Do you have any advice, Niall, on things like eating jellies? When should we be taking those? That's from a listener.
Yeah, well, look, there are lots of strategies that you can use. The issue is when you're running, and it depends on lots of things like the temperature, your training condition, et cetera, et cetera. Regardless of what you take, ingest, whether it's a solid or a liquid fluid, it has to be able to leave the stomach. It has to be absorbed. And most people would recommend probably taking fluids around 7 to 10% carbohydrates, because at that concentration, it can be absorbed into the bloodstream and then can be used by the muscle. Again, for someone doing the marathon for the first time, I would always say, while you're training, that's the time to experiment. That's on your long runs, take your jellies or take your solids or take your liquids, figure out what works for you, because we're all uniquely different.
Because it might make you sick as well. And that has happened.
Yeah,
hasn't it?
I'm the same. You know, along, if you're constantly putting, you know, carbs into your system. Now, you should only take them probably every 5 to 7 kilometers anyway. And the other advice I would give is start taking the drink and the carbs early in the race. Don't wait until you've run 25 kilometers and then start taking it. It's probably too late at that stage.
Mm-hmm. So, are there other things then that mean that men are more likely to hit the wall? Like, we've talked about the overconfidence, maybe the adrenaline rush at the start of the race, but is there a physiological reason why women can get through this without hitting the wall as often as it happens to men?
Oh, I'm sorry to say, as a man, I think it's pure patience.
Oh, really?
It's the ability to be smart. Of course, women are smarter as well.
So, oh, yeah, I'm glad you said
patience,
that, Chip.
They have the smarts, you know, to be able to pace themselves, whereas men are much more aggressive. There's no difference in fiber type or slight. Women have a slight advantage in that they can use fat more effectively. And that's why women do very well in really long races, like ultra marathons, triathletes, because they have this unique ability to use that 100,000 calories of fat compared to men.
Mm-hmm. So, but the message is just to hold it back as much as possible, because a listener is saying to us, are all the fastest marathon runners in the world not men? That's not necessarily what we're talking about, though, isn't it? It's about your amateur runner or somebody who is trying to run to time, not getting to that point where they're just slammed.
Well, I mean, there's a totally different reason for that. Men are bigger, so they have bigger hearts, bigger lungs, so they pump out more blood per minute compared to a female. Because they have more muscle, they have more glycogen stores because they have more muscle. So men have a slight advantage when it comes to time. But when you relativize it to someone's weight, women do, you know, pretty much similar to men. Obviously, there's a slight difference in the world records and times, but the women's world records, I mean, it's now close to 210 and 215. So, you know, it's amazing the progress for both men and women. Obviously, shoes are having a big effect on times, particularly over the last 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. But again, if you're, for those who are running a marathon, you think long term. You start your training about 5 to 6 months in advance, and you slowly increase your mileage. You slowly learn to use your fuel. You know what recovery works for you. And particularly, I would recommend to anyone running it for the first time is probably run pretty close to your marathon distance at least once, probably within 6 weeks of the main marathon, just to get a sense, you know, do you hit the wall? What's it like? And then that really, from a mental perspective, it gives you a picture of what it's going to be like on the big day.
And great confidence as well going into it. Niall, it's great to talk to you. Always fascinating to talk to Niall Moyna from DCU.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.